change Intergalactic Train Studio to Intergalactic Mothership Connection. I'm not here in PCI. You guys hear it? Thanks, Mike. Yeah, it's a teaching hospice.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Learn
your
song.
Trigger warning. This is the broadcasting from Pod Bay. Sit and stay. Mere feet above sea level at Intergalactic. I forgot what you said already. Canine Studios.
Intergalactic Mothership Connection. Where's your black heritage, brother?
I left it in my other pants, apparently.
Okay.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are
Learn
here.
Learn you some.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah.
What's it from? You said that. I liked it. Learn you some.
Yeah, that was on my Prof CJ liner, I believe.
Is that just you being street, or is that something?
Yes, that was my white behind trying to be as street as I possibly can.
Okay, well, I found out I'm black, so Steve, you ever seen C-Before?
No, I've seen it. I've seen C after, but not C before.
I don't know what that is. Oh, you're making a joke. You should see C before, man. It's a Chris Rock movie, and it's funny as heck. And this song is from it. Blacker than black, and I'm black,
y'all. I'm blickety black, black. Wait, maybe I have seen this movie and just forgot. I think I might have rented this at the Hollywood Video I got banned from in Ann Arbor, Michigan for taunting.
Yeah, that's you. I believe it.
I returned a copy of another Chris Rock movie, Pootie Tang. And I had
watched. You know who directed Pootie Tang?
Louis C.K.
Yeah, Pootie Tang is an amazing movie.
I had watched their copy of Pootie Tang so many times that I like wore a hole through the VHS in it.
Pootie Tang is almost the same exact cast as CB4.
Yeah.
Except the Butthole Surfers are in CB4 too.
I said something's wrong with this, and then the next time I went back and they said, "Oh, you never returned Pootie Tang." I said, "Oh, yes, I did." But you didn't. These are problems that the kids can't relate to. You used to have to go to a store to rent a movie.
These are white man problems, Steve. You're white.
Yep. And sometimes they'd accuse you of not returning it. And anyway, they had to go to the back. They found the copy of Pootie Tang, found that I had returned it, and I got all in the manager's face and said, "In your face, I returned Pootie Tang. Booyah. Boom shakalaka." And
wow.
They cautioned me not to return to that Hollywood Video. So, yeah, I'm a rebel.
Yeah, I believe it. So I found out I'm black.
I know.
I don't talk about it. Yeah.
How much?
1/64th black. Like, basically almost a homeopathic amount of blackness, but a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't everybody...
What?
Everybody going to be 1/64th black at some point if you everybody takes
no,
that test?
No, not everyone is at this point. It's actually only about 1/3 of white European Americans have any black in them. So it's not an uncommon thing. But I was betting on Jewish because I have the nose and I have the chin and I like money. And my daughter got genetically tested once for a bone marrow transplant. My late daughter, who died 10 years ago of leukemia, she got tested for a bone marrow transplant. And in that test, she found out she was part Jewish. And her mother was adopted, so we always figured it was probably her mother. But I thought maybe it was me, because I guess I just wanted something that wasn't WASPy, not because, you know, hey, that's cool, but because my dad and my brother are really into genealogy and have, like, researched the tree pretty heftily and well back 5 or 6 generations. And, like, my brother is in the Sons of the American Revolution. Do you guys know what this is?
Oh, yeah. Philadelphia. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing where, like, you have to be able to prove that you had an ancestor fight in the Revolutionary War. And my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was in the Revolutionary War on the American side. And my dad and my brother are so psyched about that. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I didn't do that. I didn't build that. But so my dad is 1/64th. You know, for him, it's 4 greats, great, 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 great grandfather. So he is 1/64th Revolutionary War guy. So I'm 1/64th black. I don't know if he's any black or if it was my mother. But, you know, like, basically my brother and my dad are going to, like, say, oh, that's insignificant. That's only 164. That's nothing. But they're so proud about being 164th Revolutionary War guy. So, and there was actually this doctrine in the United States called the one drop rule. Have you ever heard of this, you guys?
Yeah, there's a Bob Marley song about it.
Yeah, it was a legal and social principle of racial classification. Like, in the United States, you know, up until, you know, past slavery, like into the 20s, like if you had 164th black in you, you were black for legal purposes. You know, you were 2/3 of a human and all that, and, you know, couldn't marry the white women if they didn't have any in them. So, you know, it is pretty statistically insignificant, but it's significant in that there's also like Indian tribes that you can belong to if you're 164th that tribe. Like, you can get a casino if you're 164th Cherokee.
Just ask Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. What did she say? Did she have some in her, or did she just make it up?
She totally made it up, and it was Cherokee.
And it was to get in college, right?
Of course.
I believe so, yes.
Well, you know who's 164th Cherokee is Cheryl on the animated show Archer. You guys watch Archer?
No, and it sucks that you said Archer, because I had Hubert Selby Jr. on my Michael W. Dean bingo board for tonight.
What does that mean? What you're going to watch?
There's a bingo board of things you often say, and I was one spot away from Hubert Selby Jr. Hopefully I can get health problems.
Wait, send me a picture of this. I didn't even mention health problems. You have a chore wheel of my repetitiveness, or is this in your head?
No, well, I'm speaking of a conceptual meme at the moment.
I think you should make it. I want a picture of it. It'd make a good, you know,
show this image. This wouldn't be difficult. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag MWD bingo. But yeah.
So when you Google 164th black, the first thing that comes up is a thread on Stormfront, which, if you don't know what Stormfront is, listeners, it's an incredibly popular white pride, white nationalism website.
And my high school guidance counselor got fired for being an admin on Stormfront. True story.
That's funny.
Yeah. It came out years after.
Yep. So there's the first thing that comes up when you search 164th black is a thread on Stormfront called "My Mother Claims I'm 164th Black." So I actually read it, and, you know, there's 20 or 30 people chiming in on it, and the universal, like, you know, 90% of them basically say, "Hey, don't worry about it. It's not your fault. Just fight for the 63/64th white that you are. But don't have kids. But don't breed." They actually said that.
Don't breed.
Yeah, because they don't want any black babies out there. Is that insane?
Wow.
But, you know, I got a vasectomy years ago. So, but, you know, now my DNA is on a database that the government can access. I'm going to use a picture of my results, part of my results, for the show image tonight, but I put a BIPCOT flag on it so the government can't clone me for my for my results. Yeah. Yep.
Well, doesn't that get overridden when you hand them the DNA?
I didn't hand the government the DNA, but one of the, like, 23andMe has actually had, I don't think they turn stuff over just by request. I think they need a warrant, but they've turned, like, people been busted because their relative, like their family member, immediate family member, was on 23andMe.
The thing that I find disappointing about 23andMe is that it sounds like a 90s straight-to-video movie where Michael Jordan befriends some dying kid.
Yes, it's the worst name. I mean, it's got to do with the number of chromosomes, but it's like, really? That's the best name you could come up with?
I heard you had 320 Neanderthal variants, and I heard you were going to make a website of that called 320 Clubs in Me.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, people think Neanderthal, like, I've actually had a bunch of comments already of people like, oh, that must be why you're so stupid. No, the Neanderthals were smart. The Cro-Mags were stupid. So the Cro-Magnons were actually Homo sapiens. They were early human. They were the same species as us. Neanderthal, which is how you pronounce it, were actually either a subspecies, there's arguments about this among scientists, either a subspecies of Homo sapiens, or more likely a separate species, and they intermingled with Homo sapiens, Cro-Mags, around 40,000 years ago. We're not talking millions of years ago. I mean, we're talking like, you know, your 250th grandfather was a Cro-Mag or a Neanderthal in my case. Now, the Neanderthal is much rarer. I have more Neanderthal in me than 85% of Europeans, and Sub-Saharan Africans have none. But basically, yeah, generally, but the, because they weren't in that part of the world. They were in the, you know, and that was after Pangaea split up to an extent. So the,
that's a band, right?
Pangaea. Yeah, for those that don't know, it's not a bad hair metal band from the 80s. It's the supercontinent. There was one continent on Earth at one time called Pangaea, and it split up into the continents. That's why, like, South America roughly fits into this, you know, Eastern South America fits into the Western Africa when you look at the map, because they used to be connected. So nothing is permanent. We're all going to be dust someday. The sun's going to die, or the Earth's going to crash into it. But, you know, by then, we'll all be on Alpha Centauri, because we are broadcasting into space. It takes 4.3 years for radio to get to Alpha Centauri, to the nearest habitable planet. And the Fiends have been on radio for 3 years, so we're coming up pretty close to, you know, they're going to hear us, and they're going to come, so they're going to say, hey, we've been listening to this planet forever, and the Fiends are the first intelligent life we've heard. You know about this, right, Steve?
You know it's a lot more than 100, you know it's a lot more than 1/64th black? Space.
What? Yeah, man, there's a lot of black in space. So Neanderthals are why humans have speech. Like, the Cro-Mags just grunted, but Neanderthals had the larger headspace. They ate more protein. They could cook with fire, so they got more better protein, which feeds the brain. They were the smart ones, man. They're the ones that brought, you know, intelligence and tool making to the table. Cro-Mags just sat around and pushed berries up their nose and grunted and hit each other.
Voted for Trump.
Yeah, and Bernie.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. The first word they formed was free. Yeah.
Booga, booga, free.
Free, free, yeah. Free.
23 and free.
23, free. Free 23 and me.
Neanderthal lives matter. So what should be the hashtag? Neanderthal lives matter.
15% of the people of this country control 320 of the Neanderthal variants.
This is unacceptable. Yeah. Bernie wants to redistribute the Neanderthal. I think he's all Cro-Mag, man. I think he's pretending to have some Neanderthal. Well, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
Worms.
And I'm black, y'all.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
We are back.
What does the yak say, Nick?
What does the yak say?
What's the yak say? Yeah. What does the Kensington neighbors in the street say, Steve?
Dope powder rocks. Have I ever told you the story of Kensington Judge Judy, Michael?
No, but we're going to get there. I got a plan.
Okay.
I got to talk more about being black.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to join the NAACP?
If they'll have me. Yeah, I'm going to get welfare. I'm going to get free college.
Anybody who pays gets in.
Yeah. I'm going to get everything.
Yeah. I had a white college professor who was a member. Yeah.
Yep. And Yeah, so there's a, when you search 164th Black, the third thing that comes up is a Simpsons where Lisa is 164th Black. It's called, well, they, the episode's called The Color Yellow. Yeah. There's actually a name, too, for people that are 164th Black. It's, you know, like
Oxeroon
is 164th. Oh, man. Someone just wrote me, make Pangea late great again. I like that. That should be the name of the episode. Not 164th Black Lives Matter. But, yeah, what is the name?
No. Make Pangea great again is great.
Yeah, I like
that. Terrific. Name all my shows at. See, it's like having Jim Jesus here.
Yeah, you know, there was an underground railroad stop in the house I grew up in. Like, it was, the house was built in like 1840, and it's still standing. Like, my dad still lives there. And in the carriage house, which is what they call the garage, like the garage on this house is two stories and bigger than most houses. Like, it, you know, it's an 8-car garage with an upstairs, but it's all made of wood. And it had like a place where the floorboards were cut out under a rug. And, you know, like there was a place dug out where like 4 or 5 people could huddle down there. And we were a mile from Lake Erie. And it was literally a stop on the Underground Railroad where, you know, they would take slaves from the South to Canada across Lake Erie. So, you know, my Black heritage is finally coming home to roost. If anyone's got a problem with that.
What? See, here's the thing. You're 164th Black. Now you're late for getting this in on Black History Month.
I don't even know what that is. When is that?
I think that's February.
I don't know when it is, because I didn't care about any of this until yesterday.
You also live in Wyoming. I guess living in Philadelphia, like, you see stuff for Black History Month all the time. But February's Black History Month. And the big joke is that it's the shortest month of the year, and it's also the only month when they know we're not going to march or barbecue.
Ah, that's funny. Well, Wyoming, yeah. there's one guy who's really black, and he's in the Guns and Weed movie, and
I had that on my bingo board, the Guns and Weed movie.
Yeah, and he's a Stanford-educated scientist who makes 6 figures working for an oil company. So, you know, black lives do quite well in Wyoming because there's one of them. So,
all that concentrated 1% of the 1% of the black
1% of the black people. And, you know, did you guys see the results from the Democratic primaries in Wyoming? It was there are so few Democrats in Wyoming. I think they're all at the college. It was like Bernie won like 160 votes to Clinton having 140 votes.
Wow.
It was a huge victory.
Entire state.
In the state. Yeah. And somebody was like, oh, that's counties. And I'm like, no, there's only like 22 counties or something in the state. And they're like, well, it must be delegates. And I'm like, well, then how come the same site lists, you know, the same race in Tennessee to be 22,000 to 25,000? No, there's 300 Democrats in this state, and they're all college students.
You only also 1,000 people, isn't there? So.
It's not like regular voting either. It's a caucus. There's a meeting at a given time you have to go to, and if you can't make the meeting, tough luck.
Yeah,
you don't get to vote at all. So democracy in action.
Well, you know what word comes from caucus, right? Caucasian.
I was gonna say, are we not allowed to say that on the radio? Yeah,
I don't know. You know, I don't. I have more Neanderthal pride than anything, really, I think.
Oh, where's your parade?
Where's my? Easy a caveman. The Freedom Fiend. So easy a caveman can host it.
There we go. Boom. That you need to retitle your editing article that you just put up. The Freedom Fiend. So easy a caveman could edit it.
Dude, you made me spit water on my keyboard.
Yeah, good times. Right.
Wacky MWD is in the house, y'all. And
yep. Get your bingo boards out.
We're gonna. I want to see this bingo board. You need to make this bingo board in your little meme program. All right, so we'll be back to talk about CSI and stupid people who want $15 an hour.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
We're gonna build a wall. We're gonna build a wall between the Neanderthals and the Cro-Mags. And then we're gonna make the Cro-Mags pay for it.
I want to see some porn that's like a reenactment of the Cro-Mags and the Neanderthals intermingling.
Oh, it's out there.
You know, what's anybody that? Who's like, here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering, yeah, if it exists, it's on
there's
the
porn
if
it of exists, it. There's Rule porn. 34, Rule right?
23.
Yeah. 34.
Rule 23
and me. Yeah,
there we go. 34 and boom. Me, the porn site of Neanderthal.
We arrived at the same exit at the same time on the comedy.
You know, I was conceived in New Jersey. My dad said that one time when I was out to dinner with an old girlfriend of mine, and she said, which exit? And he was offended.
Boom.
I know. He hadn't heard that joke. Yeah. So we are going to talk about... you know what I was wondering? I'm wondering if Stormfront is one of the biggest clients of 23andMe. Because if there's anybody...
Oh, they've got to be up there.
You know. Yeah, because I think everybody on 23andMe probably, or on Stormfront probably gets tested if they can afford it. And I couldn't afford it. A friend of mine paid for it because he wanted to help me with looking for health issues, which 23andMe doesn't analyze anymore, but there are sites where you can run your raw data through it. It'll point you to stuff, and you can talk to other people and, you know, have the secret knock three times and whisper low that you and I were sent by Joe.
I have a question.
Hernando's hideaway of DNA. Yeah.
Do you think there are people that are super into meteorology that wind up on Stormfront and then become hardcore white nationalists? Like
the just wrong because, Google like, search, just yeah, they were like yeah. storm chasers and they ended up. Oh man, that's funny. Yes, but here's why I think maybe they have all been tested, because that thread where the guy said he was 164th black, nobody said get off our site. Not one drop of black blood. They were all understanding about it. And like, forget that. Just don't have kids. I think, you know, and 1/3 of European whites have some black in them. So I think that everybody on there found out they have some black in them, had a, you know, little somebody in the woodpile there. So can I say the N-word now? I know I can't say it on radio, but can I walk around saying it? Or is that not enough?
Nah. Nope.
Okay.
Nah.
I don't think. Yeah.
So what do you got to be?
There has to be some cheating involved. Well, I think that. I dated a black girl.
That helps. Well. If that helps. And I dated a black girl while living in a black neighborhood. That's
you could say it to thing? Eskimos. I think.
Okay.
Inuits. I'm sorry. Maybe you could call Inuits Eskimos, and that's what
Inuit.
You get.
It. Yeah. You're.
Wow. Inuit.
Man, I'd said it just the tip, baby. But you're in Delaware, Steve. Is
this is not coffee and submission,
doing?
All right?
Submission and coffee with Dalai Lama, DOLLIELLAMA. The old, yeah. Is that,
yeah, that was a throwback. Reel? That was a deep cut, Michael WD.
That should be a mature. That's a reference. Blast from the past. Yeah. Well, yeah. I was Thorn Daddy on that one because I'm a prick. Can I say that on radio?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
Well, actually, I was Thorn Daddy because my wife's name was originally like Screw the Roses or something, which is an allusion to a kink book called Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns, which is a kind of cool name for a book about BDSM. But so, yeah, I was Thorn Daddy because I was her daddy. Are you somebody's daddy, Steve?
Yeah. But whatever.
But whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Nope. I mean, I got dad jokes aplenty. I mean, that's for certain.
I don't know if I can tell my... Speaking of actual fathers, I'm going to just cut you off and not let you go there on radio. What you're doing is illegal in Delaware, doing this kind of radio across state lines from Delaware. Delaware is like more statist than New Jersey, isn't it?
Because it's so small. Oh, come on. No. Nah, okay. It's not that bad. There's no sales tax. Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like,
How do you even know you're there, though? I used to like blink and I would drive through it and I'd be in the next state already.
Lots of Dunkin' Donuts, though. I hardly knew her. Good cheap coffee there. Dover. So I don't know if I should tell my 95-year-old waspy dad that I'm part black. I think he'll have a heart attack and die. Uh-huh. I like him. I don't want him to die from me telling him something. So I don't know.
Go 164th of the way to telling him, which would be showing him a Sanford and Sons rerun.
I'm black, y'all. Yeah. All right.
Do you think you would even believe it?
I don't know, you know, because he's the kind of guy that, like, would probably believe dusty old books he found in the library in the genealogy section over hard science. He really is. But, I mean, the guy grew up in the Great Depression. How many people are even alive that literally grew up in the Great Depression? I mean, this guy, like, you know.
Tell him your genes were in the Dust Bowl.
My dad was a farmer, you know,
he could relate to that farmer
in the Depression. Yeah, I mean, FDR was my father's president for four terms.
My parents were at Kent State during the Kent State shootings. True story.
Yeah, I know. And so was one of the guys in Devo. And you, what did your parents say about Kent State?
My mom was making cream of cookies. My dad did. My mom was making cream of celery soup at the time, and his
nice.
Won't make it anymore.
So, yep, Jeremy, let's talk about this this thing that happened at a Burger King. And I don't have internet access. I have two internet connections, and I only have the one on the computer across the room that's doing the Fiend phone. So I can't read this. So you're going to have to read the prank caller thing about the Minnesota Burger King.
Sure. Well, this was a story from a day or two ago. Oh, now my internet's going to go freaky on me, of course. But basically, someone called up a Burger King and convinced the manager that he was from the fire department and that there is some kind of gas leak in the building, and the only way that he could protect himself and his employees and the rest of the people in the building was to start immediately smashing out all the windows. And the guy was apparently convincing enough because the manager started telling the employees what needed to be done. And there's video of this, of them going around the building, like kicking it and like hitting it with things and trying to break the windows to save themselves from the gas leak.
And I got to say, first of all, these people want $15 an hour and think they deserve it. Second of all, this was spearheaded by the manager, who's supposed to be the smartest guy in the room at any job. But, you know, someone once told me when I was working at a Wendy's back in the 80s for a few months, somebody said, the manager at a fast food restaurant is, you know, he makes a few pennies more an hour, works more hours, and has to wear a tie. That's all it means, being a manager. So,
I guess you could say this prank caller really told them a whopper, huh?
Ugh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No. Yakety yak, don't talk back. Do you know that song, Nick? Yakety yak, don't talk back. Yeah.
I'm sure you've never heard that before, Nick.
Never.
Songs from like the 50s. It's before my time, and I'm twice Nick's age. Three times Nick's age, I think. So,
take out the papers and the trash.
Yeah,
pay me with Bitcoin, not with cash.
Nice.
You already said it for an update.
Hey, you liked my joke. What was the joke I told you today? Oh, I said, you're so white, you'd complain in a Cajun restaurant that the fish is burnt.
Yeah, I retold that, and people laughed IRL.
Yeah, you can have that. I like writing jokes for you. I like being your secret, one of your secret joke writers.
Secret writers.
And I can prove that I came up with that in the year 1999 because I made that joke up when I was dating the Octoroon girl, the 1/8 black girl from New Orleans, who was hot and had a nuclear butt that would just anyway couldn't quit. But
you should have had a kid, so that kid could have been, let's see, 160. Yo, I had no
164
idea.
164 plus 180. Yeah, you can't even do that math, man. That's physics math. We would. You
times like
school.
This, I wish I were autistic like every other libertarian on the planet.
So you could do the math. Jeremy could do it. All right, so we'll figure it out during the break. It'd be like 166th or 162nd, maybe. Yeah, so I made that joke up, but it's in my first novel, which was written in 1999 and came out in 2000. So we have confirmation. We have the documents to prove that I came up with that long ago. So you can have it. And so this thing, there was actually a series of crimes in Washington State.
It was all across the country, I thought, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have internet, so tell us what it is.
I don't have internet, so the crimes didn't happen.
Yeah, it's true. I have a chromed robot turd. I can look things up.
Well, I have it up. Yeah, it was back in the, I think started in the 90s and ran through the beginning of the 2000s. It was the strip search phone. It's actually a Wikipedia page for it called the strip search phone call scam, where for over like a 7 to 10 year period, there was a bunch of incidents where people were calling up mostly fast food restaurants and occasionally grocery stores and convincing managers.
Claiming to be a cop.
Either a cop or in some instances I think there was another instance where they claimed to be somebody higher up in the organization. Like it was a
Ronald McDonald was calling.
No, it was somebody out, one of the supermarket ones that it happened in. They convinced
Mayor McCheese himself.
There was somebody with the
Hamburglar, Jeremy what did you call yourself in that? And then Jeremy Heisenburglar. That's your new name, man.
Yes,
that's
I believe awesome. That was the
learn
that was
you some.
Yeah, that was the collaboration we came up with. But anyway,
take it.
So there was just a string of calls going all over the country, and nobody was ever caught for it until.
Say what was happening. You're burying the lead. What was happening were calling up and they were telling the managers of these restaurants and supermarkets to detain and strip search female employees who they'd accused of stealing
or customers. It was a theft. There was a couple of ones that it was a drug thing they were talking that they claimed that it was about.
And people did it because they thought it was a cop or, you know, their boss's boss telling them. Now, the really cool thing is there's a CS or a Law and Order SVU based on this with Robin Williams as the perp. And it's pretty rare that Law and Order has big, big, big stars as the perp. They do it like once in a blue, once a year, maybe. And I think it's Robin Williams' greatest performance, and I'm not kidding at all. He's really good in it, and he's a really weird character. First of all, the name he uses is Detective Milgram after the Milgram experiment, which was this thing where somebody paid college students to shock college students or think they were back in the 70s to like see how far people would take authority. And, you know, cause authority figures were telling them to do this. And the episode is called,
Authority.
Is it Authority? Yeah,
Authority.
And the character he plays is like a recording engineer who has like flash mobs at Grand Central Station where he gets 100 teenagers to show up and like freeze in place. It's weird and cool.
His performance really leaves you hanging.
Ooh. Too soon?
Too soon.
Too soon.
Yeah. Man. All right, we'll be back to talk more about that. Hour two is going to be all Steve Miller and Yak Boy.
Ching, ching.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! to this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
It's an air raid cat siren. All right, so we're going to finish up talking about this Robin Williams thing. And then second hour, you're going to hear some interesting stuff from Miller Miller about people shutting off his gas and Bernie, and reading some dramatic readings of Bernie fundraising emails and whatever else he wants to talk about. And some great yak redemption from Nick. And I'm not going to be on the second hour. So, because I did an interview earlier today, so I've used all my lung power for a week. I've used my young lung quota. I'm well lung.
Young
so,
lungs be fiend tonight.
Tonight. All right, so let's talk more about this. First of all, Law and Order. The original Law and Order was far better than Law and Order SVU in general.
I disagree, but you're Jerry Orbach. Your opinion. I mean, this is America.
Who's the comedian? Who's the blonde comedian, Irish American comedian that is in the Show Me the Money movie? He plays the lawyer that Jay smiles Moore. When. Yeah, Jay Moore. He does a stand up. I was watching with my wife the other day. His stand up's great. Do you like him, Steve?
Yeah, he's a talk radio guy too. Did you know that?
No,
he had a show on
ESPN for a while, and then he subbed for Jim Rome for a while too. And Jim Rome was the first talk radio show that I really listened to with any sort of consistency.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he does this stand up where he's talking like his stuff's really seems a lot more like kind of free association riffing on stuff more than a lot of comedians, and it works. You know, it doesn't seem very like even Louis C.K., who's great and better and like one of the best comedians ever, I think. You can tell he like labors over it and writes it down and like works on it, you know. But Jay Moore, like if you listen to a couple different of his shows, like he doesn't tell the same story the same way each time. But he has this thing where he's just kind of riffing about like smoking like medical grade weed that's for people dying of cancer. With his wife, and they're perfectly healthy, and they smoked a joint of it, and like couldn't move for like 6 hours, and they were watching a Law and Order marathon. And he's like, it was great, and I'm not talking about SVU. I'm talking about the old ones back from the early '90s with Jerry Orbach, and I'm like, yes, yes, like somebody else gets that, and Jerry Orbach's one of my favorite, you know, like weird actors. He's in Last Exit to Brooklyn, the Selby movie, the Hubert
there
Selby
we go.
Movie.
Bingo.
He plays the head of the union during the strike.
Oh, Kane's story for the win. Kane's story for the win.
I don't know what Kane's story is.
Oh, when Hubert Selby got his cane.
Oh, his cane. I thought you meant Cain and Abel.
He got this $37 aluminum cane, and you know what he said? He said, I finally got something
from that effing government. But the rest of that story is pretty funny. He was being told by someone he was having breakfast with. And you know, the guy said, and then we left the restaurant, and he left the cane in the restaurant. That's how much he needed it, which like kind of makes him sound like, you know, he was faking, but he wasn't faking, man. He had like 2/3 of a lung. He didn't even have one lung. But
how many lungs do you have? Is it 1/64th?
I have 2 that aren't working great, but they're working better than they were a year ago, man. So,
yo, I was in West Virginia, and I was a coal miner, and I have 1/64th black lungs now.
Black lungs matter. There's the hashtag, man. Black lungs matter. No, it's going to be make Pangea great again. That's it. I like it. That's Nathan the Ninja Squirrel suggested it. All right, so real quick, we got a couple minutes here. This thing with people calling up and telling idiots that they're authority figures and getting them to do things no sane person would do, like break all the windows in the business where you work or molest and imprison female employees.
Well, yeah, that's the more severe
it's
one.
Because people like buy anything from authority, you know. Yeah. Did you guys ever see Jericho, the TV show Jericho? Amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And do you remember that there was that like that bunch of soldiers that showed up at one point and they had a tank. And it turns out like they weren't really soldiers. Like they'd found dead soldiers and taken their uniforms, and like everybody in the town like respected them and honored them because they were wearing the uniform, even after like the government collapses. But like, you know, they were saying hoorah and the other thing, like the thing that the army guys say and the thing that the Navy guys say. And like someone was a vet and was like, that ain't right, that ain't, they don't say that. Wait, you know.
That was the thing about that SVU episode with the Dr. Milgram, because it's so apropos.
Detective Milgram.
Just so
resist authority, man. It's just people want to take your stuff. That's all it comes down to.
Well,
all right. So in hour two, we're gonna have the song stylings of Mr. Steve Miller Miller and some young Yak Boy redemption in the third act. In the third yak. There you go. Redemption in the third yak. All right, guys. Have a great show. Thank you for your cervix. Worms. Make Pangea great again, y'all.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
On the artificial satellite Live Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region, space more than 1/64th black. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows by reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. The Freedom Fiends reminds you that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. That Hillary Clinton is a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit stinks. That Bernie Sanders is a liar, a socialist, and he smells like tinkle. And they remind you not to wear. And they remind you not to wear a Bip Strong in a public pool, because I wore my Bip Strong in a pool last week, and I jumped in, and the healing current nearly killed a couple people in the pool. And one woman got out of the pool, and she was 20 years younger than when she got in. So as a public health announcement, we also want to put out there that if you get a Bip Strong from the Lalberts sister podcast, don't wear it in a pool. Careful. Careful with all that healing energy that you got all up on your wrist. So, Jeremy, Nick,
yes,
we're back. We're triggered. We're here on the Trigger Weens. What is it you wish to discuss with me this day? During the break, I was making these MWD bingo cards.
This is going to be the next great drinking game.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Well, here's the thing. They're going to be randomly assorted, because the website that Avod allows you to randomly sort the
bingo that's excellent.
Cards. Yeah. So, you know, he it's not as if he can, you know, tailor his discussion so that, you know, someone needs dope. Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I don't broadcast in Kensington anymore, and now I can say things like someone needs dope and not worry about like having someone walk up to the window and be like, oh, I got a 5-piece or what have you. Do you have this problem, Nick? Do yaks often walk up when you're like, yo, I got excess grass or oats or whatever it is they eat?
I have the issue with pigs, not the yak so much, but they do come running when you say anything about.
Yo, man, I got food. Grass. I got grass. I got grass.
Grass fed. What would set a pig off? Don't they eat pretty much anything?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I've heard this.
Anything would. Anything. You just like you just, they just hear the sound of a human, and they think food.
Next.
So, gentlemen, let me ask you a question. See that you could take the boy out of Kensington and you could put him in Delaware, but he's still not going to be able to pronounce the word ask. gentlemen, let me inquire to you. I would imagine you're both not on any politicians' fundraising lists, correct? You don't get emails from any politicians.
I not actually anymore. Do now that I think about it. My representative of whatever district I'm in, Mike Nierman, sends me emails now.
How often does he ask for money?
Not very often. Like,
okay,
maybe a few times a year.
Ooh, okay. So there's a couple politicians whose lists I'm on, and so I'm pretty lazy with blocking people. I don't block people on Facebook very easily. I don't block people on Twitter unless they've got to be really over the top. And even with emails, I'll generally just ignore something rather than like even put it in the spam folder. Just
or
like
unsubscribe from it.
Yeah, like whatever. Like, and Bernie Sanders has me on his email list because of obviously. getting on this list, and I would like to do a dramatic reading for both of you because the great thing about Bernie's emails is so Bernie knows his people don't have any money, so Bernie always asks you for the smallest amount of money, and like generally under $5. I don't think I've ever seen Bernie ask me for more than $5 ever, and it's always these like insane dramatic pleas for like $1.90 or something like that. So, with no further ado, here is, I'll give you a choice of which Bernie email you'd like to hear. I've got not for sale, how powerful are you, we just won Wyoming, or ever since we won Wisconsin. What's your choice?
I'd go with the Wyoming one in honor of Michael to start off with.
Okay, all right. Steve, we just got word that we won Wyoming's caucus. This is huge.
Wait a minute. He's already appropriating. Isn't that Donald Trump's thing? He's already appropriating language.
He's culturally appropriating Donald Trump. This momentum is just what we need in order to win New York's crucial primary in 10 days. But we also must know that the billionaire class is more scared than ever. And, again, bold, they don't want to see us win again. They don't want to stop us here and now. Okay, and then we've got it all in bold and underlined. Contribute $2.70 to our campaign. And we can keep our momentum going with another huge victory in New York. Your investment today in our movement will go a long way toward taking back our country from the billionaire class. Back to normal text. Momentum is winning 8 of the last 9 contests while bringing more and more voters and young people to our sides as we talk. Blah, 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 blah. And, in solidarity, Bernie Sanders at the end. But... yep, $2.70. I'd also like to read How Powerful Are You? Because I read this one before the show, and that this is one of this is Bernie's greatest missive, in my opinion. You may not be aware of how powerful you are, Steve, but you are incredibly powerful. You are powerful enough to convince a former Secretary of State to change her mind about matters as important as international trade and global climate change. Who knew she was a Freedom Fiends listener? You are powerful enough that some of the wealthiest people in the world are prepared to spend billions of dollars to stop you. Money-saving tip for the billionaires. If you want to stop me, I'll take a couple million. You don't have to spend billions of dollars to stop me. You know what? I'll stop at $1 million. You send me $1 million, and I guarantee you I will cease all political activity for the rest of my life. I'll sign whatever you need me to sign. Anyway, you are powerful enough to win 16 of the first 34 states against the most inevitable candidate in modern political history. I did that. Our power comes from a simple, timeless truth. When people come together, there is nothing we cannot accomplish, certainly not understanding economics. And your $3.09 contribution.
Oh, what? 9 cents.
Oh, 9 cents. along with thousands of others being made right now, is powerful enough to help win the New York primary, the Democratic primary, and the White House in November. This is the single most important two-week stretch of the Democratic primary, and I know that if we continue to stand together and fight, we are going to win. This is our moment. In solidarity, Bernie Sanders. So Bernie's emails, every single moment at every single time, is always the most important junction in the primary. And that's why Bernie needs $1.64.
I have never... I mean, I've gotten these in the past, and they haven't found me recently, but I was earlier in the campaign, apparently. I was still, like, on cruises and Rand's list for some reason. But I don't think I've ever recalled anybody, like, it's kind of ingenious, actually, asking for these random amounts. It's, yes. Like, I've seen people ask for $5 or $10, but never, like, with change. Like, that's actually brilliant.
Give me $2.80.
Oh, because people just go, oh, I could find that in the couch. But I love it. It's like that last one was beautiful. It's like such wonderful appeals to emotion and saying absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and then
just pumping you up.
You don't know how powerful you are, Jeremy. You just don't know how powerful you are. I hope tomorrow I'm walking the streets of Philadelphia and some homeless man's like, yo, man, can you spare $1.27? And I'll be like, oh, man, you're probably on the same email list.
Oh, man.
I don't have enough money to get on the train back to New Jersey. But with your gift of $1.19... I'll be on the train over the bridge to New Jersey. I'm laughing too much. But
why would anybody want to go over the border from the bridge to New Jersey? Isn't that, don't you hit Camden first? Why would anybody want to go there?
That's where you go to get dope. And
but if you're white, you don't often come back.
Well, I mean, that's the hope, right? Like that if you give these people money, they leave and then don't come back. But that's not what happens. What happens is they don't go to New Jersey. They take the money, they buy dope, and and they're sitting there on the street, and then they read their Bernie emails, and then they're sitting there, and they're like, "Hey, man, can you spare $1.42?"
Oh, Bernie.
But with your $3.09.
I mean, like I said, it is. And people swallow this up because this just, you know, how else do you play on that ridiculous everyman persona, you know? I'm just this poor schlub from Vermont. Yeah, who's been paid, you know, entire life's been subsidized by other people.
And here's the thing, like, if you I probably get, I don't know, like 3-4 of these a week.
If, oh my gosh, a week.
Yeah. Oh. Wait, huh? Yeah, I'm here. You there?
Okay. Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, like I probably get 3-4 a week and then so if I were to donate every time, so let's say like that's $3 per, they've probably got somebody that's donating like $700 a year that probably like every time is like, you know what, Bernie, sure, like here's $2.40, like go take the White House. I'm feeling the burn. I'm feeling the burn to the price of a small latte, and some of them will say like, oh, by that's less than the price of da 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 da, and yeah. And when I was trolling the Bernie groups, a lot of them will be like, man, I was going to go eat Chipotle today, but I just decided that my nourishment is a lot less important than seeing Bernie in the White House.
I couldn't stay in a lot of those groups because I could never figure out who was actually legitimately, you know, schlepping for Bernie and how many people were like you in there. I got so confused.
A friend of mine that's going to do a promo shot with a BIPCOT flag, Danielle, if you're listening, bless your grind. She got death threats due to her posts in what I did for Bernie today. So,
I forgot about that. Yeah.
We'll be back after this trip to Yonder Market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So, we've got a big announcement to make on the Freedom Fiends, and we're going to make it in the next segment. First, I want to make, one second, I'm going to sneeze. I couldn't even get to the button in time, so bless my grind.
Any hoodle.
Back to these Bernie emails. Bernie, this is a personal appeal to Bernie Sanders. I know he's a frequent Freedom Fiends listener. stop letting other people write your emails, Bernie. I'm tired of getting an email from BernieSanders.com, and it's got a nice title that's going to reel me in. Like, here's one that says, not for sale. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Bernie's going to really, like, stick it to me, and I'm going to feel the burn in this email.
Political clickbait.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. And then I get there, and the email is 0% Bernie. You got to fix that. But here's not for sale. Steve, if there's one thing people know about Bernie Sanders, it's that he's not for sale. No number of bankers can stop Bernie from breaking up the banks. No amount of fossil fuel lobbyists can bundle enough money to stop Bernie from opposing fracking and doing everything in his power to fight climate change. There aren't enough big pharma CEOs in the world to stop Bernie from getting universal health care. Bold print. Bernie's not for sale. But that means he needs you, Steve. And your $2.62 contribution now to Bernie's campaign to show the political establishment that our movement can't be bought. Yeah, it's this constant thing of, you need to give us money so that we can really show that money doesn't matter.
Let's get the money out of politics by giving us money.
$1.81 at a time. Every time someone could,
for only $3.17 a day, you can help this poor Vermont.
You can help this poor 81-year-old Democratic socialist
all the way to the White House.
Can help a fly coach. Here's the big closer from the campaign manager. Every time someone contributes to our campaign, it's a message the billionaire class hears loud and clear. That makes them very nervous. Let's keep them on their toes. In solidarity, Jeff Weaver, campaign manager, Bernie 2016. 262 at a time, y'all.
I know it being from the campaign manager, you know, gets you a little down, but I would hate to see them get their wires crossed after this, you know, plea of yours. And the next letter you're going to get is essentially the same, but it's signed by Bernie, because now Bernie's talking about himself in the third person.
See, here's my plan to get the Koch brothers and other billionaires to listen to the Freedom Fiends. If I donate $1.07 to Bernie Sanders, that will send a message loud and clear. And according to this email, it's going to keep them up at night, because they're going to be so shaken by Bernie. Ooh, here's one just titled "Yes." that was the same. Anyway, they won Wyoming. Boy, he really popped off. He waxed all prolific about this win in Wyoming.
The least populated state.
The 200 Democrats in the whole state.
I need to make some sort of magnetic
poetry.
You show
that apartment building.
There'd be a great magnetic poetry with just the subject of these emails from Bernie Sanders. Like, this is the truth. Steve, we need your help to win Pennsylvania. Urgent. Our fundraising has slowed. Shocking.
We're only getting 86 cents a donation at this moment.
By God, we asked you for $2.40. all caps, new low, blocking our path. Here's one Worms. Oh, wait, that's from Michael W. Dean. Artist for Bernie. Oh, yeah, this is back when I was... Yeah. Here's one about a recall on a Buick. That's also not for Bernie. Yeah. Pennsylvania for Bernie. Thank you, Steve. What? I didn't send them anything.
Those are my favorite. I was just going to say, this is my favorite. Just thanking Bernie Nation. Well, yeah. You get thank yous forever afterwards because they want to follow up, even if you haven't done anything. I used to get thank you letters. They'd call me and I tell them no. And then I get a thank you email and it's like, okay, so just everything's generated.
Oh, snap. Here's one that has emojis as the subject line. That's Bernie's going to the future. I have a proposal. 731 delegates, 27 days. We'll go to the market. Psst, we have a secret.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Jeremy's laughing because of the announcement I'm about to make, because he thinks it's some sort of joke, and we're not kidding. I'm 100% serious. There's been a huge squabble within the Freedom Fiends about this election. It's caused a lot of division. Nobody is probably the most popular candidate. Jim Babb endorsed nobody. Vermin Supreme also has a couple followers amongst the Freedom Fiends. Daryl Perry has a large contingent of the, if you're going to vote for the, you know, if you're going to vote a strict guy who lives in a van / redneck Muslim ticket right down the line, which, you know, you can't really blame them for. And I haven't really devoted a lot of show time to my candidate of choice. So we're going to devote this segment to my candidate, who has come out with her vice presidential pick today. And Jeremy was exposed to this candidate for the first time during the break. And he's a huge fan. So we've got the Joy Division, as we're calling ourselves, the fans of, ladies and gentlemen, your next president and mine, Ms. Joy Wehmeyer. So, Jeremy, you are new to the Joy Division. Tell the people what you've learned about your next president, Joy Wehmeyer, who chose her vice presidential candidate today. A woman named Becky. But go ahead.
Well, first looking into her, the first thing I learned about her is that she's a veteran and a spiritual visionary, which kind of made me a little wary. You know, things like that seem a little out of my realm. I don't normally have to deal with either of those type of people, but I decided to read on, and I figured out how wrong I was, and I just became enamored with her, because she's Becky actually, I think, sealed the deal for me. Really, she had a friend as a young girl named Becky, who apparently still is with her today, and
advises her and
yes,
tells her
she gives
she can't explain Becky, but no. Becky exists. Yes. And I just have this vision of Joy Wehmeyer. Well, first of all, you obviously make Becky the vice president, and her sitting face to face with some dictator. And I don't know if you've ever met Joy. I did once, but she's sweet as pie. She's the nicest woman, and she's also about 4'10". We're not talking about like a very large woman here.
Better.
Yeah, and she's wearing this cowboy hat, and she's got this hair like reminiscent of a fundamentalist Latter-day Saint. And it would be great if she was just sitting there face to face with Putin, and she was like, "Well, blessings to thee in the name of my Lord thy God. Let's talk about this nuclear crisis." And Putin's just like, "Well, I'm going to test these nuclear missiles." She's like, "Well, here's the problem with that, Vladimir, and that's if you do that, we might have to get Becky in here, and I don't think you'd like it if Becky came in here." And Becky just played the bad cop, and then her voice changed, her entire face changed, and then Becky comes out. Oh, it would be amazing. And people would say, "Oh, this woman's crazy." Nothing about Joy Waymire reads genocidal to me, and I'm really good at reading genocidal. I called it with Bush. I called it with Obama, although that's not really difficult, being like, "Oh, that guy's genocidal." But yeah, and I really don't think Joy Waymire, probably not genocidal. It's an inspiring campaign slogan.
Not genocidal.
But she's had several miraculous healings. She once suffered from hepatitis, astigmatism, diabetes, thyroid disease, and rheumatoid arthritis, among a host of other tragic conditions, including running for president, that had her confined to a wheelchair, and that she has been, but she says she's been miraculously cured of all, with doctors unable to offer any rational medical explanation. Boom. She's also going to cure America of everything by being president. And if you friend Joy Waymire on Facebook, which is something I would recommend doing, you'll see that she ends every single one of her posts with the words, "Blessing name of my Lord thy God." Huge fan of that.
Well, she's been saved that many times. You can't really blame her for wanting to get the message out there. This is great, though. I mean, she is, according to everything else, she follows all the libertarian principles, I guess. You know,
yeah, she says she's
against, even though she's very spiritual and she's very connected to her God, she does not believe that, you know, legislation should be a morality should be legislated, which is a big plus.
Anti-drug war. Yeah.
Yeah. She obviously, I guess, it would be a minarchist, if anything, because she believes in the smallest possible state, but only for national defense. So, you know, that's right off the bat, she's already better than the other libertarian candidates who all still want to control things, you know, like Gary Johnson, who wants to order people to make cakes, and, Austin Peterson, who wants to...
take any of these leading candidates and imagine if they didn't have all that baggage and instead had healing powers, and you would have joy. Like, not just joy in your heart, but you would have joy as your presidential candidate. You need to get out there and you need to help this woman, and you need to help her become president, because it'll be funny. And that's all we can ask for out of anybody, is that something hilarious happens. So... get out there, vote the straight Joy Becky ticket, I'll throw a shout out to Daryl Perry as well. If your principles are really that hard on you, and you're like, you know, I don't know if you could really miraculously cure hepatitis C. I think Becky might be conspiring against me. You know, I'm just gonna stick with the guy in the bus and the redneck Muslim I know. I totally understand, but please follow the NAP, the Not Austin Peterson principle, when you are supporting candidates in the Libertarian primary. I love a good Libertarian primary. I'll bring out a nice number of loonies, though. Not that I consider Joy a loony. I consider Joy my next president. And
well, I'm with you on that one. And like the other thing I came across right up there with Becky, my second favorite thing is the honesty that she puts forward. You know, on her own page, where it warns people that they, you know, just to be a little cautious, because it says her profoundly supernatural mindset could easily be viewed as irrational by many, raising questions about her clarity and thought of vision of thought and vision. Now, see, that's not something you would hear from the other candidates. They would try to tell you, oh, just dismiss these naysayers. No, they're putting it right out there for you and say, listen, some people may think this, but, you know, I think the more you look at it, how much more, how much worse could Becky be over somebody like Joe Biden? Or any of the other vice presidents that have been.
I was in the Joe Biden train station today. Gross.
Oh, that's right. He's a big hero down there.
Wilmington, Delaware. Yep.
Wasn't his son a congressman or a senator there or something?
He was. They were going to try to get him to run for Senate, and then he died of a brain tumor. However, he did officiate the first gay wedding in Delaware. And my friend Dave Piccolomini, Dave, if you're listening, bless your grind. He's a comedian in Brooklyn. Dave Piccolomini went and he said the following. You know, folks, life isn't about the number of breaths you take. It's about the moments that take your breath away. And Dave leaned over to the girl he was with and he said, did he just make a joke about autoerotic asphyxiation? And the girl smacked him. And I'm like, yo, I stand behind you 100%. That was 100% the correct thing to say in that situation. Because, for real, screw him. Come on. Life's not about the number of breaths you take. Like, that's just such contrived, crappy writing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Panderous. Yeah. It's about the moments that take your breath away. Oh, God.
Well,
if a politician ever appeared at my gay wedding, it would be like to serve in like some sort of pillory, and I would have like a rotten fruit stand, and you could just go and like wail away at them. We would have that instead of a DJ. No, we would have that and a DJ, and like we'd play some metal, and then you just pelt the politicians with rotten fruit and rocks.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Steel cage match.
See, the rocks may be pushing it though. I'm sure there are plenty of politicians with just the rotten fruit. You at least pretend to offer them money, they'll probably take you up on it, and you wouldn't even have to force them there.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. That's the thing. These you need to get a consultant to pitch it to them. You need to get a consultant to say, you know, this is really how you break in there. I can't wait until 2024 when. Like candidates, like it goes past. Mitt Romney did a thing where he wouldn't talk to internet commenters, where he wouldn't go to the YouTube debate because he's like, it's not presidential to talk to a snowman. And then he had to backtrack and he did the debate anyway. And I think all of that, like, I'm too presidential to do X, is going to go out the window. And by like 2024 or 2028, the candidates are just going to have to respond directly to memes. And like they're just gonna like put memes on the screen at the debate and be like, okay, go respond to this meme. Or maybe you could have Anderson Cooper be like, okay, so Senator, when your bae wanna go to the club, but you too high, how do you be like? And then you'd be like, well, Anderson, I'd be like, babe. Why don't we Netflix and chill? Ooh, ooh. Oh yeah, they need to add air horns to the presidential debate. That's how you turn it up. You get watchers, you bring in a new generation. Or you add a rap battle.
A rap. I don't think it's too far from that.
Let Hillary and Trump rap battle. I see your hair. You running with a wig party. Oh!
Oh man, I don't think it's too. I don't think it's that far from that. With some of the stuff that came out in this year's debate, it's getting sillier and sillier. Why
not? They should call it freestyling. Be like, okay, we've got the freestyle portion of the debate. Running mate, drop that beat.
Oh man.
Becky, drop that beat.
That'd be Colin right there. She's playing both roles.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Segment for some redemption in the third act, I suppose. Nick,
yeah,
you have a yak story you wanted to update us on.
Some I got happy a new ending, yak perhaps? Story. Yeah, so earlier this week I had to even cancel on a show because I was gone, but my dad and my grandpa and I went up to almost Canada. Washington, I think it's we were just south of Ione, Washington. So we drove like 7 hours to Spokane, stayed the night somewhere around there, and drove another 2 hours up to go get this new yak bull because we got to replace the mean one. I think I've told that story here before.
Yes.
So we got a new, he's a really awesome bull. It was probably better price than I could ever get on any white and black yak. Anywhere. So it was pretty sweet. It was a nice deal. And so we went up there, we got him, and we drove back with him, and we put him in a smaller pen just for a few days. We're going to let him calm down a little bit. Then we'd introduce him to the herd. And on the second day, he jumped out of that pen. He was running around in the larger field. And then he jumped out of that field. So we're like, oh no, we got to get him. And so we rounded him up and we put him in with the rest of the yaks. Because we figured he wanted to join them because he was lonely.
Gen Pop.
Can't keep that yak in isolation.
So we put him back into with the herd, and they do like a pecking order sort of fight. They kind of see who's the best with the bulls, and then the cows kind of join in to pick on the new kid. And so they all chased him around a little bit, and they chased him down to the far end of the field where I can't see. We have a little bit of a ridge and a little bit of a hill that go down, and about like I'll wait a couple hours. I kind of realize, wait, that bull never came back. There's everybody else, but where's he? It's I'm like, oh,
chased
no.
him off the cliff.
I had no idea what happened, so I went and looked for him. I couldn't find him at all. I'm like, oh no, I lost a yak. This has never happened to me before. I've never lost a yak. They've just never ran off. So I spent the afternoon looking for him, and I couldn't find any trace of him at all out there in the field. And we've got some swampy, wooded areas that he could go into and get hidden in. I went through there several times with machetes, couldn't find anything. Went along the riverbed, couldn't find any tracks. And I actually broke the non-aggression principle. I'll admit that.
Oh, no.
I trespassed on the neighbors. That's right. I went and looked on the neighbor's property without permission because I figured that's where he went. And I couldn't find anything. So for like the last 3 days, we've been calling up people. I called the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Oh, it's going to call the sheriff to see if anybody called, saw a yak. You know, they call the cops if they didn't know who I was, try and figure out what's going on. But we couldn't find anything. The neighbors looked a little bit and couldn't find anything. And then just today, I came home after, because I was so mad, you know, so pissed off that I spent $2,000 on this on this yak. I drove 14 hours and he just disappeared on the second day. I couldn't believe it. And then there's just no signs of it. It was like he was stolen, but it's like nobody could steal a yak without me seeing it. And it's pretty hard to round up a yak if you don't know what you're doing. And so I couldn't figure it out at all. Nobody knew like what had happened. to this yak. And then I came, I was working out in the field, and I was driving back home from out there. And I pulled in my driveway, and I'm looking, and I'm like counting all my white yaks, because I, you know, I've just been counting them every time, hoping that he'd show up again. And mm-hmm. I counted five, and there was four before he came. And I was like, no, this can't be right. This can't be right. And I was so excited. So that's my redemption. Man, he came back. The prodigal yak is back. I'm so happy. The
prodigal yak is back.
He just showed up out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's
But it turns out one of the neighbors saw him earlier today. He went up in the woods, way up in the hills. It was, I don't know why, but he just took off uphill.
Well, all the other yaks chased him off. I can't imagine why.
Yeah, and then he came back, too. He needed some more...
I don't know. Do they have like a homing sense like dogs do?
I don't know, actually. I bet they're pretty smart. They can find their way back home.
Well, that's good. That would have been such a shame. I don't know, to waste the time with the money.
I would have. Yeah, dude, I was so mad. Yeah.
Well, I guess that, everybody says, how could you lose a yak? Well, I guess it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he's back. Hopefully he'll fit in. See a little puff picking on him.
Yeah, it'll take a little while. Hopefully he doesn't take off again.
Can you microchip him?
Something. I don't want the government to be able to
get a yak tracker.